Here's JB Smoove.
Let's go back there.
Why isn't he here? I don't understand.
Like he doing other radio or what?
He was in the building 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, I wonder if they pulled him.
Because I had my headphones
on. Tom hasn't even told us anything. And Tom's not here.
I'm sure the Wolf crowd should go see him.
They just don't have him on. KSCS won't let him go.
What then?
Bob, I'm just flabbergasted.
Why would you be?
Because we've had a lot of problems over the years. Especially with Tom, we've had a lot of problems. Oh, dear. Oh, man, a hurricane's walking in.
What's up, baby?
This is not... Hey, JB.
How are you?
Oh, yeah.
We're in the building, baby. I miss you guys, man.
This is...
He's back.
This is not like a Stephen Wright-like entrance.
No,
you know
no.
What I mean?
You
this
come
is...
in, you bust up in the door.
He has a presence.
It's a... It's a little mini...
Here. There we go.
Weather event.
How's it going, man?
I'm doing good, brother. You know, you bust up in here, let people know who you are, right? Your presence must be known.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and we would expect no other entrance from you.
There is no other way
high
into the
energy.
Building. I don't care where you go, man. You go to a wedding, a baby shower. It's always good to enter a baby shower really loud and crazy, right? People love that.
Right.
Maternity wards love that kind of stuff. You walk up in there, what's up? I'm in the building. Wake all the babies up. Babies start crying.
How many baby showers do you go to?
No, you go to, I said baby showers, maternity wards, right? I broke it up, two pieces. So you got those two rooms. And maternity wards are the ones that cause a ruckus in, you know? You bust up in there, let people know that they just had kids, and the kids cry, right? Some people don't hear their babies cry immediately. So you bust up in there, make a lot of noise, you know, and you let people know that this is going to do, you can expect from a baby is crying, right? I don't care where you go, man. You go into a kindergarten class, pick a kid up. You come in there loud, like a loud father.
Yeah.
Where everybody's like, that's your dad? Like, yeah, that's my dad. He's loud like that, right?
That's awesome.
That's how I come in the door, man. I came right in the door, let you guys know I was here.
I like it.
If you guys all had your head turned, you say, damn, who just walked in the door?
There was no question of it.
There was no question it was me.
Yeah.
See that? That's how I do. That's how I do it. What's going on, man? We in Arlington, Texas, baby. Hot as hell outside.
It's not really that bad yet.
No, it's hot out there. It's warm enough for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
LA.
I'm a winter baby.
Where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina by way of NYC, by way of LA. So
okay.
Always use by way of.
Tell us about
people
JB.
Know. Some people use by way of in a bad way, and some people use it in a good way. Right? Some people, you might not even know people's background until you ask them. Somebody might say, I do radio by way of jail several years ago.
Right.
You know, I don't know, right? I don't know what you've been through, but people should say by way of, that way you know what you're dealing with.
I have an extremely boring backstory.
What's your backstory?
It's not even worth mentioning. It's extremely boring.
People should do that. That way you know what you're getting into, right? Ladies want to meet guys. If every time you met a lady, you said, hey, it's good to meet you. You know, I live here in Arlington, Texas, by way of 4 or 5 divorces. You know, a lady would say, whoa, this is not the guy for me. You know what I mean? That
sure.
way you know what you're getting into.
Sure.
That should be the law. The law should be, by way of, should be precede everything you say, by way of. You know what I mean? Yeah, I got a little son by way of several other kids with several ladies. You know what I mean? You want to know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're getting into until you say it. Right, brother? You know what I'm saying? Am I wrong or right?
I feel you, dog.
By way of will solve a lot of problems. You try to get a new job, right? You come in there on a new job, right? You get in the interview, you just say, hey, you know, I would love the opportunity to work here, right? It would be great to be here, but I am by way of several firings. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You want to know what the hell this dude been through before you hire him.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I feel like
by way of, baby.
I feel like though when I'm at the playground or something, and I will be with another adult who also has a kid. I have a kid.
Right,
just
right.
Going to the playground.
There you go.
And the other adult will say to me, "Huh, I don't know where they get all that energy, do you?" And I go, "No," and I sit down because I'm really tired from standing.
Right.
That's what I feel like right now as I'm watching you walk in.
You have
studio.
To.
And we haven't even asked a question yet.
You're damn right. You know why? Because sometimes you need to be. Somebody needs to shake you once in a while. You know what I mean?
No, adults, I don't.
See, shaking is not good for babies and kids, but shaking is perfect for adults.
Okay.
You need to shake somebody, right? Just shake them up a little bit.
Just to feel alive.
You got to feel alive once in a while. You know what I mean?
Of course, this is JB Smoove in studio.
In studio, baby.
The one and only.
Who will be at the Arlington Improv. We fell in love with you on Curb.
Yes, indeed.
But then have since seen you. Didn't you allege that he's becoming or should I not hand this to you? Did I say this? That are you becoming the black friend? The guy who in a movie, if they need hall pass and we need the black friend, it's...
You know what? I have been the go-to guy in several films lately.
Yeah?
The go-to guy. They call me the go-to guy. Right? Everybody needs...
To come and...
Not only do you need a... It's not even a black thing. It's a certain personality.
But we need...
Someone who moves forward all the time. Right?
Like
someone,
a shark.
Someone who will jump on you mm-hmm. and let you know you're doing something wrong or backwards. Right? It's not a black thing. I think everybody in this world knows somebody like
we
Leon.
We like to label things, though.
I'm telling you, there's a Chinese or there's an Asian Leon out there somewhere. There's a Filipino Leon.
The guy that jumped out of the trunk. And,
you're damn right. There's several Leon right. dudes.
Yeah, that guy, he's the Chinese
it's
Leon.
It's a personality. Asian it's Leon. Not a a color. I mean, there's a white Leon out there, too.
Okay.
There's several people. I'm going to tell you the definition of a Leon character. Leon character is a dude that lives day to day. Right? He's a guy you carry with you everywhere you go. Want to fight a ticket? This is the guy to bring with you. Right? Who has your back? Want to get your car back from the repo man? This is the guy you bring with you. It's not a physical thing or a threatening thing. It's an attitude. It's how you carry yourself that will allow you to get over on people and also get your way. It's a positive. The ruckusness is a positive movement. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing of how you carry yourself, get you a backbone, and fix your back.
Yeah, Dan.
see how I punctuate things, too. See how I punctuate. You got to punctuate things to let people know you're serious, right? Always people out there punctuate things so people know you're dead serious, right?
Don't trail off
when you're talking to people. When you try to make a point, you punctuate it. If you got to spit in their face when you're talking, see, people spit mostly when they punctuate too much.
Okay.
Trying to make a point to people. See that? That's a point. See, when you punctuate, you make a point, you spit on people.
Yeah, that's why we have
you serious.
That's why we have this.
Collateral.
You're damn right.
Wet ones and.
You have to have that, or you walk around with a screen in front of your face so it don't get on you. You know what I mean?
Now,
right?
What was your question again, Dan?
They should make a hat. Hey, they should make a hat you wear with a visor on. You know how you wear a veil? Right?
Like a welder's mask.
Like a welder's mask.
Yeah.
For people who punctuate in your face too much. You are punctuating in my damn face and you're spitting on my screen that's covering my face. I'm a welder. I gotta wear a welder's cap mask when I'm talking to you because you keep over punctuating in my face. Right? Come on, man.
Exactly.
Wake up in here. It's a morning show or afternoon show. Wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's excellent.
Come on, man.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody right now is taking an afternoon nap right now. And I just woke him up.
You did.
He works night hours.
We thank you for doing that.
He works in the evenings, and he just got up.
I saw a commercial on MTV about a show called Hip Hop Squares.
Yeah.
And I could have sworn I saw you like in the. Are you a part of that?
If the only way I would ever do that kind of show is if I get the center square.
So I did not see you on the commercial.
No. Do you know how I look?
Boy, that is so racist.
No, I'm asking you. Do you know how I look?
Yeah, I'm looking at you right now.
Did you see a person in the center square who looked like me?
I thought I did.
Do you know me? Do you know how I look?
Yes.
Would you assume that was me?
I did.
Or you think it might be somebody else in the middle?
See, if we said it would be racist.
I'm really happy it wasn't me that said that.
Most brothers. No, I'm going to be blunt right now. Most brothers know brothers.
Yeah.
And if you know me as a brother. Not your physical brother, but as a brother, overall brother, you know it was me. So for you to ask me if that was me, knowing it was me.
You're offended.
I'm offended.
Would you like to
win? But it was you, right?
So you're still doing it. I feel like you don't know me, and we don't know each other right now. I feel so separated right now in front of these white people.
Well, let's meet each other. I'm Donovan, man.
Hey, Donovan. I'm JB.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, that's a white handshake.
Well he saw me. He know he saw me, but he's going to ask me any damn way, trying to do his damn job. Instead of him making it personal,
I just want
like
you to
personal
promote
connection
the show.
That we should have.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that it was you.
No, of course it was me.
Oh.
See?
Okay.
I'm getting on him because he knows I walked in the door. We gave each other the head nod. Uh-huh. Even before we shook hands and said, what's up?
We know.
I walked over there. I greeted the man. I came in the door. I came over there and greeted the brother. Said, what's up, bro?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All I'm saying is this. Black people know black people, and right now, this black dude don't know
no. See, I feel like I'm...
I sensed that. That was a softball.
You were doing radio. You were doing radio.
I threw the softball.
Oh, I see.
You knock it out and talk about the show.
Now, you can do radio.
You can do personal...
You can have a personal twist to it, or you can have a job twist to it.
Just like the... Didn't I see you on the... Are you doing the Arlington Improv this weekend? I thought I saw you.
Perfect segue.
I thought I saw your face on the... But I'm not sure what
you know. You saw my face because you saw my name under my face.
Oh, yeah, your name.
They don't put a face without a name under it. Yeah. They'll say, coming soon, and just have a face there.
Right.
They say, coming soon, JB Smooth to the Improv. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong here?
I really don't. At this point, I'm not sure.
You should not be sure. Life should be surprises. You should have surprises and things that come from the left to keep you alive and wake you up. Right?
So, JB.
You know what I wish, man? You know, I wish. Now, this would be cool. Now, picture this. This is cool, man. What if your personality, right? What if you had a personality of a ringmaster, right? And you lived your whole life speaking as though you were a ringmaster. You know how crazy that would be? Like, every time, hello! Good to be here! You know what I mean? You're picking your lady up for a date or something like that, and you just talk all day like a damn ringmaster. Wouldn't that annoy the hell out of you?
Right? Like, of the person who is the ringmaster, you're saying?
You're not a ringmaster.
Would annoy everyone else.
You speak every word as though you were a ringmaster. See what I mean, Bob?
Like, as far as if you...
All this goes to answer his question. Want to have relations with
your lady?
I'm going to tell you something how I work. Okay. You gotta overthink. When I'm doing interviews, when we're speaking right here, we can see each other, right? There's no screen up.
I don't know. You have sunglasses on.
No, I can see you.
Don't worry about my eyes.
No, don't worry about my eyes.
All right,
right?
Because I thought you might
worry about my eyes.
I thought you might be high when you walked in, but
no, I see
you're clearly not.
No, I'm not. I'm making points here, right? This is what I do. I make points, right? I use metaphors to make you understand where I'm coming from. Because sometimes you got to know where I'm coming from in order to know where I'm going. But you got to think and open your head up. You cannot be closed-minded.
Right.
You have to open your brain. All you guys. Not just him.
Nah, I feel like we're connecting.
You're close to me.
Yeah.
You can see my eyes.
Yeah.
You see my eyes.
Totally.
But over there can't see my eyes right now.
Right.
All he can feel is my presence.
Yeah, he's uncomfortable.
I'm really, and I use that with punctuation.
I'm really uncomfortable right now. My presence in the building. You should be uncomfortable, right? Life is full of uncomfortable things that need to be pointed out.
But we've got each other's back, right?
Of course we do.
Okay, so what?
If something go down right now,
it's me and you.
You better believe it. I'm going to the black side.
That's what I'm
saying. You better believe it. If something go down right now, it's over.
We're good.
All right?
We're good.
I don't know what it's
going to be. You guys both just said such vague things that don't mean anything.
Are you Spanish?
Like if something go down.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
If something goes down.
Right now, if something went down.
What could possibly go down in here?
That's all I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
You just never know.
Nothing could go down here.
You never know.
Nothing will ever go down here.
Nothing will go down in here. You have to address
this
things.
This is the most vanilla room you've ever been in.
And that's why it might go down.
It's not vanilla. But see, I don't see color in that way.
I gave a flavor.
No. You can give a flavor all you want. But see, in order to give a flavor, I must order a flavor. You can't just give me a flavor. I got to order a flavor. Like if I say butter pecan, right? I know this brother ain't butter pecan. I'm not butter pecan, right?
I really don't know.
Is that a white flavor?
No, it's not a white flavor. It's a middle range to it. It's a light skinned purple. It's a light skinned person with freckles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Blake Griffin-ish. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's good.
Butter pecan.
That's good.
Right?
Okay.
In New York, they call people from Puerto Rico. They call butter pecan Ricans because it's a flavor. They have a certain tone to them.
Okay,
right? Am I right or wrong, brother?
I'm with you.
See,
he
always
know. He don't know.
No, he doesn't know
butter pecan Rican. He don't. He never even heard that term. But sometimes you got to give people stuff because they don't know.
Would it be okay if I asked you a question?
Let's ask a question.
All right, this is JB Smooth with us.
In the building, baby.
Of Curb Your Enthusiasm of the Arlington Improv this weekend.
I'm taking number two because I have a question as well.
Ooh, okay. Well,
so
we better get to it.
You have a little line here.
How do we feel about Curb coming back? Because one of the great things about the show is I think every year when the season ends, you guys have no idea if there will be another season.
We don't have any idea.
You still don't?
We're at the mercy of Larry David.
Right.
When you're rich like this, right? People don't understand Larry David's brain. Sometimes I gotta dive into his brain and then dive out, and I'm trying to tell people about them, right? So I'm going to dive out right now.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a live review from the outside looking in.
Okay.
Right? Because I've already been inside. I'm outside right now looking in. I'm going to tell you how it works. Larry is rich, right? Rich people don't have a timetable, right? Larry can choose to come back to Curb. Larry can choose to do a movie. Larry can choose to do another show. Because Larry David is rich, right? I call him Larry Loaded because he is rich, right? That's his nickname, Larry Loaded, around the set.
Does that hold you guys up?
Of course it does.
Like your careers and...
Of course it does. But you got to realize this. Curb is not a huge payday. Curb is opportunity for paydays.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you gotta realize where you're at. It's like a person graduating out of college and they intern. Right? They ain't making no money. But
so
they have
Curb
opportunity
has led to
make
money. Your...
So it's opportunity to make money.
Just being seen and out there and people knowing what you have
to
offer?
It's an industry-based show, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who watch the show, right? Of course they watch the show. They love the show. But you don't make money off of fans.
Mm-hmm.
Only time you make money off of fans is when they come to see you perform. But as far as TV opportunities, movie opportunities, that comes from the industry seeing the show.
So there's
already a body of work out there from the show. It's 8 seasons in. They know who's on the show. They know what they do. They hire you off of based on what they see. But... You got to realize that, you know, it's 8 seasons in already. So what's going to happen with the show is already going to happen. It's already in process.
How long you been with it?
3 seasons.
Okay.
But things are already in process.
How did they make the decision to get rid of the rest of the family and pretty much just go with Leon?
See, there's a guy driving the car named Larry David who every season wants to do something different. So he has to do something different every year. That's why it takes so long to make his mind up whether he's coming back because He's one of those guys. Larry is very Larry. Larry David, his name is Larry David on the show, and believe me, he is Larry David in person. Mm-hmm. Right? He's not a different dude. He's Larry David.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to think what his process would be. You know, someone told me his process is if he can think of 5 episodes, he can do 10. But he's going to take his time and think that out. Because one thing about I think we all do that, whether it's radio, whether it's acting, whether it's whatever you do, sometimes... You got to rest on, what do they call it, resting on laurels?
Sure.
You got to say, you know what? That was a great season. You don't want to jack it up and come back with something weak. So you got to make sure either you top or you either match last season or you top last season. So you got to think about
it. Last season was awesome.
It's awesome season.
It was
It's
great.
Very hard to come in there and say, you know what? I got to really, really, if I come back, I got to really come back.
Yeah.
I can't play around and half-ass it.
Do you think you will?
I think he will, but I think it's going to be like late 2013.
Oh, yeah?
I do.
And you
do.
Think you have a place on that show when it comes back?
I think I have a place on the show, you know? Because I call Larry once in a while. I check on Larry. I make sure he don't forget who the hell I am. You know what I mean?
Right.
Once in a while, you got to check on people. You just check on them. You just small talk them. I small talk Larry.
Yeah.
What's going on, Larry? What's going on, LD?
Do you have time to stay till 150?
I got time to do what we got to do. People need to know things, man, and I'm the person to give it to them in this moment. Sometimes when people are on a roll and their lips are moving and flapping, you got to let them flap.
All right. Well, stay right where you are.
I'm in the building, baby.
All right. It's 1:30 on the...
I ripped it so hard, I didn't even take the girl out, man. Never walked by her all semester. Didn't even give a damn about the date. I was the man on campus for the rest of the semester, man. I was the man. I was the king of campus. All they talked about was my answers and how funny I was on stage, and I never took the girl out, man.
So you stopped thinking about advertising.
And I stopped. No, advertising is still, see, but there's a different way to advertise now. Advertising is nothing but putting something out there and selling yourself, too. You are advertising every day when you walk out that damn house. You understand? Right now, I'm advertising right now.
Okay, so you did the dating game. We're going to fast forward a little bit here because we're barely into college.
I'll tell you what. I jumped out of college, right? Got out of college, went to Norfolk State University. Right, but before that, I actually went to a 2-year college and got an associate's degree in engineering drafting. Right in New York, then I transferred schools to Norfolk State University in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
I went there for graphic design, so I studied graphic design there. Right, got out of there, came home, got a job as a graphic designer in a t-shirt company and design company. Started doing that. Then after work, I would just go downtown. Right, I tried one talent show. I did okay. But then after that, I wanted to develop an act.
So you always had that in the back of your mind.
You know what?
This is what I did in college. This is what I really liked. But let me get graphic design because you have to have something stable, perhaps.
I still had a love for laughter and comedy and that world. You know, so then I started doing stand up after work every day. Right, every night I would go downtown.
That's a bold move.
It's a bold move. You got
to
develop.
Like you said, as far as you just need to intern, or you just need to get somewhere. You
got to get somewhere.
You're certainly not getting paid or anything. Right?
No pay is involved when you're trying to work on yourself and your craft. You got to be willing to work on that craft, right?
So at that time, you're like, I want to be a stand-up.
Yeah, I started doing stand-up.
That was going to be my career.
That was my career. So I had a job. But I'm going to tell you how jobs work. I'm going to get back to this in a minute. It's going to be a callback. So we're doing stand-up, it's a callback. So I started doing comedy at the Uptown Comedy Club in Harlem, right? This is an amazing place to start, right? A bunch of comics, anybody you could think of as far as stand-up has performed at the Uptown Comedy Club. Well, so I started going there to the workshop.
Can I ask what might be a racist question? And it might not be. I looked at Donovan.
Yeah. Sure. Yes, you can, Dan.
is it hard to, I'm thinking as I say it in my head, it probably is a racist question, but that keeps people tuned in, right?
It does.
Is it hard to differentiate yourself from the black? It sounds like if maybe this is racist too. You were in Harlem. It sounds like it'd be a place where black comedians go. Is it hard to differentiate yourself?
Let me tell you something.
And to not be known as the black comedian or.
Mm-mm. I'm gonna tell you how it works. You choose the direction you want to go with your act. No one tells you to do just black material.
Right.
No one tells you that. Right. But depending on where you are. Everybody gets everything. It depends where you start at. But you can see, where you start at is not necessarily where you end up at. You have to choose what's funny to you, not corner yourself into just doing a certain style.
So you don't, do you shape your act based on, it looks like a black crowd.
I do what's funny.
Okay.
I do what's funny. I can go anywhere. I can do gospel comedy if I wanted to. I perform for gospel shows. I perform for kids at the Boys and Girls Club. I can go anywhere because I know the rules of comedy. I don't sit there and just say I'm black dude. I'm just going to do black comedy.
Did you bomb a lot?
You have to accept bombing.
Okay.
You have to accept it.
Yeah, but I just didn't know.
You have to have in your mind that it's like you start a new job. Every day on the radio when you first started wasn't a great day. You said, man, I wish I had done this differently. Because
mm-hmm.
That's what it is. That's what work is. You're building yourself. You're building who are you going to be for the future. It's not living in that moment when you first started. You got to be willing to accept small crowds, you know, the last spot on a comedy show. Like, you got the 1:30 spot in the morning. Like, damn, I got the 1:30 spot. A few people left in there. A few drunk people left in the crowd, like 5 people. But all that molds you into who you're going to be. And by the Uptown Comedy Club.
Well, you got to have self-motivation, though, to stick with that sometimes.
Yeah. But see, I'm going to tell you how New York works. Even though the Uptown Comedy Club was in Harlem, we had all types of people performing there. And believe me, no matter what color you are, you laugh at what the hell is funny. I've seen white guys kill on Apollo. It's funny, it's funny. It don't matter what you do, funny is funny. You know, and that's what comics do. We have to be able to change gears and like, you know. So anyway, I started there. I started doing stand up there, but I was also doing shows downtown. I was also doing the Cellar. I was also doing the Boston Comedy Club. I was also doing the comic strip, Stand Up New York, all those clubs.
Are you getting paid for any of that?
A lot of times you don't, but you get cab fare normally. You're not getting you're not getting paid.
Couple hundred
you
bucks.
Know, New York is a hustle. New York is a place you move to. I don't give a damn what you do. New York is a metropolis. When you go to New York, it's the proving grounds for everything. I don't give a damn if you want to be the best babysitter in the world. You go to New York, and you will babysit your ass off, and you will be the best babysitter. It will build you as a babysitter. You can tolerate, you know what I mean? Anything you want to do where there's a city with a hustle to it, you can grow and build who you want to be. And you can perform 5 times a night in New York if you really wanted to. If you got enough cab fare in your pocket and enough time, you can hit 4 or 5 clubs a night and work your craft. And that's what we would do. We would bounce from club to club. You're talking about a big area. You're talking about doing shows in Jersey, doing shows in Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, Connecticut. You can get to any of those spots in less than an hour if you drive the right way. You know what I mean? You can bounce. So anyway, I started doing stand-up. Right? And as I started doing stand-up, I started to grow. I started doing a lot of colleges, right? Auditions, did a few movies early. Louis C.K. is one of my stepping stones. I've done at least four or five of Louis C.K.'s projects, right? Louis C.K. is one of those guys. He's a great comic.
Did he write Pootie Tang?
He wrote Pootie Tang. Yeah. He wrote a movie called Tomorrow Night, which was one of my first movies I was ever in. That was one of his first movies he shot, called Tomorrow Night. Then I started doing auditions for films and that kind of stuff. I actually, the early years of In Living Color, I actually went for that, and they actually flew me out to L.A., for 3 or 4 days, and I worked with the crew and stuff like that. But then they had some things going on where, they had a split between the Wayans and Fox, so that didn't work out. But it was an opportunity I loved, you know what I mean? And meeting people who were really cool like that, like Kenny Ivory Wayans was, he would come and see me perform because I just loved meeting people. Also, Chris Rock was very influential in my movement also. So I did everything I could do in New York. But I'll tell you about New York. You can go to a certain point in New York, and then after that, you're kind of done. You've done everything in New York. Unless you want to do soap operas or that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? There's certain things in New York that you know. Yeah, people move to New York just to do soap operas because it's big out there, right? There's certain things you go to New York for. You do it, and you make it happen, and that's what you want to do. But when you're doing stand-up or acting, you can go to a certain level in New York, and you kind of stop. Then you got to move to L.A. You have to go to L.A. Went to L.A., started doing stand-up in L.A., right? Had a lot of success doing stuff in New York, you know, but there's nothing left in New York to do. So I moved to L.A. My first week in L.A., right? I had already done some sketch work on the Chris Rock show on HBO. You remember that show?
Right.
I did some sketch work on his show. I moved to L.A. My first month in L.A., I'm doing a comedy store in L.A., right? The Comedy Store is a great club right on Sunset. Did the Comedy Store. And that night, I had the last spot that night, man. And it was one of those nights where I just ripped it. Great crowd. I remember Chris Rock was there. Arsenio Hall was there. I remember everybody who was in that crowd. It was crazy. Everybody you could think was in that club. It's because when you're doing stand-up sometimes in those kind of like L.A. or New York, a lot of times the whole back of the room is comics. The whole back of the room is nothing but comedians. And they love, like, some people are comics. Comics love certain people. They will laugh their butt off because they love it. You know what I mean? But when you rip in certain rooms, you rip. And when you rip in L.A. or one of the top rooms in New York, people hear about it. So I had a great set that night. I remember that night, you know. And then by the time I even got the next morning, Chris Rock show called. My manager was like, hey, we would love to have JB do some stand-up on the Chris Rock show. Chris was there last night. He saw JB's set. He loved that set. See if JB wanted to come and do the Chris Rock show. So I moved all the way to L.A., to go back to New York anyway. Isn't that crazy, man? You know, I could have kept that round trip. I could have went away. You know what I mean? I'm so mad at myself. And then, like, a few months later, I'm on Pootie Tang. So I came back to L.A. to go back to New York again to shoot Pootie Tang. And which is great because I reconnected with Louis. And Louis was actually one of the head writers over at Chris Rock's show. So it all works out.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time, when you're doing, no matter what you do, always realize that you show up on time. You work your ass off, you be cool to people, you cordial, you don't burn no bridges, and just take your time and allow things to come back to you, right? I get calls from people I met 10, 15 years ago who were interns on a movie who are now studio execs, you know what? And they say, you know what? They will call me and say, hey, I met you 15 years ago, JB. You know, you're the same dude. You know, I'm working on a project, man. I would love to have you do it. And I'm sitting here like, do not, I'm telling you, be willing to step out of that moment and about yourself and realize that you are all you're doing with your life is laying down the foundation that will allow that phone to keep ringing. You can get everything at one damn time. Here's my philosophy, right?
Yeah.
I don't mind working to keep the lights on. That's my thing. Coming home and you can turn them damn lights on. It's the best feeling in the damn world, right? There's people out there right now who don't have no damn lights. Who can't come home and turn them damn lights on? I'm satisfied with the lights being on until I can get to the point where I can buy the whole damn company, right? And sell my own damn light. You know what I mean? That's all it really is, man. Be satisfied.
You want to buy a light company?
Not, right. No, it's a metaphor.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are not good with metaphors at all. You guys are terrible with metaphors.
He got into comedy, in order to achieve his dream of selling lights.
That's don't a very odd dream.
Right? Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure when you guys started out, you probably worked at little stations
absolutely.
With duct tape on the microphone. And, you know, you're like, you could have been like one of those
we're
guys.
We're at one of those now.
I've been in those stations. I've been in those little stations coming up that if I was one of those guys, I would walk out of there. Oh man, I can't. I'm not going to be on the radio with this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this chair, the spring in this chair is snagging my pants. I can't do this. But you can't be like that.
Nah.
Not when you start now. You have to really allow yourself to grow, and that builds what I call your ruckusness.
All right. Well, JB Smoove.
They're kicking us out of here, JB.
It's the improv.com.
And I forgot we both got dimples on our chin, too.
Oh, seriously.
Let's plug this.
We got a connection. These guys don't have.
We're friends forever.
It's called a butt chin. It's, yeah.
You guys don't have that.
817.
Whatever you want to call it. That's cool.
635. Well, it looks like something else, too, sometimes. 5555. The front bottom. The Arlington Improv. This weekend, JB Smoove and his laid-back act will be there. We really want... Please sell it out, right?
Twice.
That helps you.
Twice.
We want to help you out. Two shows a night.
I'm going to tell you something, man.
Well, I take
to give.
Oh, wait.
You understand?
No.
That's my philosophy. I take to give, baby.
All right. It's a karma thing, right?
I take to give. You're damn right.
Will you hand in this? I don't know if we have. We might have that already, but.
Let's do it.
We need you to.
Man, you need to.
I bet you can figure out what to do with that.
I can figure out what to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, you're. He's on the Larry David Show, right? Is there more improv than the Larry David Show? Bob?
No.
Okay.
Y'all ready to do it? You ready?
Do it.
Sure.
This is JB Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm, LEON, Leon Black, baby. And I never listen to Bob and Dan Show on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in the building, baby.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see
you. Hey, you guys are awesome, man. And, you know, come on out tonight. You know, you will leave with something. You will get something.
We will be there.
Okay.
At every show this weekend.
I was telling you, just come on
starting
out.
Starting tonight.